Smile 90.4 FM.
The workplace is a fertile ground for office romances. Hardly surprising, I suppose, considering that we as employees spend most of our time at work. But if left unregulated, office romances can give rise to behavioral issues and conflict among staff. And the fact that many of us are now working from home doesn't necessarily mean that the risk for employers will disappear. Well, helping us to make sense of this is the Director of Employment Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Pateni Nkuna. Pateni, good evening and thank you so much for your time.
Good evening and thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So let's just get an understanding about what constitutes an office romance.
So that would be either people who are officially seeing each other or people who have flings, so to say, and obviously happening within the context of the workplace or the virtual workplace as we have it now.
Yes.
All over the world. Yeah.
Okay, so that's quite a spectrum. So what then is the employer's role then in setting standards of acceptable behavior in the workplace?
Ideally, I would say that employers would prefer employees not having any form of relationships outside of being colleagues. But things do happen and people do become attracted to each other. And within the context of that happening, it is important, firstly, to have policies in place to regulate or to define what constitutes a romantic relationship, what are the do's and don'ts, and instances of conflict of interest. An example, if it's a junior as well as a manager, what are the do's and don'ts insofar as conflict of interest is concerned, because you don't want somebody gaining some form of advantage by virtue of them being romantically associated with somebody, as well as sexual harassment, because sexual conduct or conduct that has sexual undertones was previously welcome, it does not automatically mean that it continues to be welcome. So in that context of that, what then happens, or what should people take into account if a relationship does end?
There are just so many pitfalls to this. I mean, you speak about sexual harassment, you speak about privy to information, for example, or undue influence. They may also be from the position of the outsiders in this situation being slightly jealous of a particular relationship, which may have an undue influence. It really is a minefield, which is why I can possibly understand that employers would rather say, highball, no, let's not do this. But people being people, as you mentioned, policies need to be put in place. Are there sort of standards or best practice policies, or is this basically dependent upon a particular company and their values?
So there isn't an absolute bar on workplace relationships, so to say. There are employers who have a no office romance policy that is also acceptable, and there are employees who've previously challenged such policies. But what is important is an employer needs to take a stance or pick a side, so to say. If it's going to be allowed, what are the conditions? What needs to be, do you need to declare? When you declare, what needs to be considered? If it's a direct link, people who work in the same department performing the same function, what happens? Are they going to be moved? So there are a lot of considerations. There isn't a standard rule, so to say. It really depends on your operations, because an example, if I am seeing somebody in HR, you know, there are risks of information leaking. Obviously, ideally, you would give people the benefit of a doubt that they would not discuss what happens in the office outside of the bounds of confidentiality. But what happens when somebody breaks the trust? What is expected of them? And you mentioned a very important, an important aspect to it, how people perceive that relationship. Is it ethical? Conflict of interest? So there are lots of dynamics at play. And it's very important for employers to have policies to regulate that and also spell out how, if somebody crosses the line, how is that going to be dealt with?
Yeah, and I'm assuming that it wouldn't make a difference within the pandemic setting. Reason being, let's just say there's a scenario where a particular organization does have a policy in place. Working right. from home, would that policy be altered in any way? It shouldn't really, should it?
It wouldn't necessarily be altered. It could be adapted because there are companies that previously did not make provision for interactions as well as sharing of content over the cyberspace or the virtual space. So there could be adaptations here and there. But generally, those policies would be applicable because how you conduct yourself. You find that people who break up now have gangs. You turn your circle of friends against your former partner. How that then translates into conflict in the workplace. So there are also risks. People who engage in office romance need to be alive to the risk of a relationship going sour and how that is going to impact on the performance as well as the relations, because that in itself may end up warranting an employer to intervene, because you also don't want a very tense environment within your workplace, which then affects how other employees then perform their jobs. Because, yeah, it can get very sour. I mean, I've had a case, for example, where a senior was dating a junior, and after they broke up, the senior wanted to take disciplinary action for something very valid. But the junior's defense was, you are only disciplining me because I dumped you. So it does present a lot of risk and a lot of dynamics.
Certainly a lot of risk, and not just on the internal front as you were describing there, but externally there's also a huge risk. What, for example, if office romance brings the company's name into disrepute, would that sort of scenario also be outlined in a policy?
It has to be, because an example, you know we've heard of CEOs who are accused of having office relationships, that can easily be painted in a very bad light. It can easily be spoken about in the media as, oh, if you want to get a job, you need to sleep with the CEO, or the CEO just sleeps with anybody in the office. So that also, from a risk and reputation perspective, is very important. I dealt with a matter where a senior was dating somebody in HR. They had a fallout outside the workplace. It actually got physical, and that brought the company into disrepute, and their jobs were obviously on the line because of their conduct. So employees always need to remember that whatever they do, they are ultimately associated with the name of a company, and if they act in a manner that is untoward, they can't even use the fact that they're in a relationship or that it happened outside of a workplace as an excuse.
Yeah, and I think it would be too idealistic and possibly far too romantic of us to think that we'll be able to sort this out ourselves as adults, because I mean, at the best of times, those waters are exceptionally murky. So make the policy, or rather make the decision. If it's a no romance rule, then get the buy-in. Otherwise, if that is being considered, then ensure that the policy is in place. Would you advise that?
Definitely. And if you previously didn't have that in place, it's important that before implementing it, you consult with the affected parties. You can't just wake up the next day and say, we're imposing this rule. No room for discussion. You need to engage with employees. Let them know that this is going to be happening, why it's happening, before you implement it.
No, you have to talk. 2021, you can't just do things as you want to.
Definitely. And it also helps. I mean, if you consult with people, you also get the buy-in, and it becomes not necessarily easier, but the implementation at least is not a shock. You know, in the environment, people at least are aware. And should you need to take disciplinary action, nobody can come and say, but I didn't know of this policy or rule.
Tenian Kuna, Director of the Employment Practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
It's a pleasure.